from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. If you're still stinging from the NBA Finals loss, I don't know if this will help. Maybe it will. The Patriots, per sports odds history, are not favored in any game this year. This is the only time since 1960 that they have not been favored in any game.
Feels like they were favored like every game for a while, right?
Yeah, that's your common sense ratings, though. Maybe Vegas is like, oh, they're minus one.
I don't care about
Vegas.
But
you're like, yeah, I know, Coop. But your common sense rating is like, no, they're plus five. They're not winning this game. Now, it's time for the C Block, starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
You're welcome.
Mike, you can do whatever you want here. I just want to let you know. CBS Sports has a list of coaches that are on shaky ground for the NFL.
Usually in California. That's where earthquakes happen.
Not that kind of, oh my God.
Oh. There's other stuff going on, I think, right now. Are they dealing with fires right now?
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
I changed it over to the news for 1 second and saw fires.
The number one coach on the shaky ground this year, who would you think it is?
Mm.
I told you I'd be here longer than he was.
No, it's not him.
Oh.
I wonder.
His team knows how to spell.
Oh, Robert Saleh.
Robert Saleh. 18-33 in his fourth year. Definitely on shaky ground, right? Especially if Aaron Rodgers can't get it together.
Yes. Like,
come on, dude. We got everything else but a quarterback.
I'll tell you what, that name Saleh is a pretty confident guy, though. He's confident as the Jets coach. Saleh Mejri was the most confident bad basketball player I've ever seen.
He was, man.
He thought he was Hakeem Olajuwon.
He was like, just give me more minutes. I got this.
He told Rick Carlisle where to stick it multiple times.
Number two, and I was talking to my friend Tim at Sagamore Riot the other day, Kevin.
Let me ask you a question. Does this one make you sad?
No. No, but yes. It makes me sad that his organization couldn't find a better quarterback.
Does it make you sad?
Not really. Not really.
Then I don't know. I was going to say Brian Daboll.
It's Brian Daboll.
Oh, how can that be? That is going to make you sad.
It's not going to make me sad for Brian Daboll. I thought he could organize that team well enough, but he can't overcome the quarterback play of Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Listen to you.
And then he had, what did he have last year? Tommy, what was his name? DeVito?
Tuberville.
Not Tommy Tuberville. Tommy DeVito.
Tommy DeVito. Oh, hey.
Hey, I'm Tommy DeVito.
Hey.
Was that what I was supposed to do?
Yes. You did great. I'm proud of you.
Put some salami on that
pizza
sandwich.
Pie. Hey, I was good in one football game, and I like the Giants with my family. Pazza mia, pazza pia.
Okay, that's too far, Mike.
Too far, yeah.
No, that's bad.
I don't know.
I don't know who makes those rules.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, don't they sing that? Like, you know how we sing Cotton Eye Joe? That's what they do for at, well, it was at Shea Stadium, but at Citi Field, like the seventh inning stretch.
When you were pitching there, they sang, they danced around and said, Mamma Mia, Pazza Pia.
Whatever that song is.
Okay.
Like that.
Serious?
Yeah.
I didn't, was it Mr. Met? Was he out there like doing his thing?
I don't think we had Mr. Met. He like went away for a while and then came back. I don't know what year he came back, but yeah, like you know how we play kind of Cotton Eye Joe's our thing in Texas for the seventh inning stretch.
Why do you keep doing these air quotes? That's what it's called. Okay. It's not a make believe thing.
They do the oh, matzo mia, patzo pia, da, ba, da, da, ba, da, da. When you're not from there, you're not really sure what that song is, but they like it.
I don't know.
That help feels, me out, Mets fans.
I didn't pitch for the Mets. That feels wrong, but I didn't pitch for the Mets.
Well, I roomed there a long time ago, murdering there in a Cotton Eye Joe. Like, I mean, people would be like, I guess you can't say that anymore.
Where did it come from? Where did it go?
Is that why they don't play that song anymore?
No, they do.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, because people got really pissed.
Yeah, it went away for one day.
And everyone's like, I'll never.
Well, did that happen in Surprise? Where like they changed the playlist of the music for one year?
Yeah,
they're
those
like,
people were
nope.
Yeah,
we never knew.
We need Eddie Murphy back to party all the time.
Party all the time. That being said, Mrs. Met, you know what I mean?
I do. All right. I'm gonna go Mike McCarthy. I'm assuming Mike McCarthy is
number three
on this list.
Number three is Dennis Allen.
Oh, Saints.
Saints. Number four, Matt Eberflus. 10-24 with the Bears.
Who we thought they were.
And he's like, hey, Caleb.
Number six, Nick Sirianni.
Did you just say four?
Number seven, Todd Bowles. And number eight, Sean McDermott, who has been dominant-ish with the Buffalo Bills until, you know, it's time.
Well,
at number
he's
five,
in trouble this year because they ran out of money because they did go all in.
I can see that.
At number five is Mike McCarthy. My question to you is, what more can he do?
Win in the
playoffs. Buy into us.
Well, yeah. I mean, he said, please buy into us. But 12-5, three straight years. What more can he do?
Win in the playoffs.
There has to be blame because we know that no matter what I say, the Cowboy fans will never blame Jerry Jones.
Because I think they are. I think they are right now.
They just can't because they know it'll never change. Yeah. So they have to find blame in somebody else. So even though I think Mike McCarthy's a good coach, the best you can get in the Cowboy situation is I do think if they miss the playoffs, he will be fired.
Okay, let me agree.
That's interesting.
Agreed.
Well, that's where I go to. What more can he do? So he makes the playoffs.
I think all he has to do is do. He's good. I'm telling you.
Don't think he's
man,
on shaky ground no, if they make the playoffs?
I don't. I think people have overestimated like how much the Cowboys actually want to put in the work to change. So if this team goes 11-6 again, now if they were to get embarrassed on their home field, maybe. But if they don't win the division, they go 11-6 and they're gonna lose on the road. And oh, it's tough to win in the playoffs. Tough to win on the road. Like we've in the last year, we've won 47 regular season games, and like that's what you're gonna get because that's these. Think about it. The Cowboys regressed in terms of what actually matters so hard this year. And people are going to be like, nuh-uh, they went 12-5. They were the number two seed. And then you got effing embarrassed on your home field. All right? Embarrassed.
They just ran out of time.
Yeah. And what happened? Everyone's like, well, you know, it's tough to win in the playoffs. Okay, great. Listen, why are we pretending like Green Bay went 13-4 and Jordan Love has been awesome for 5 years?
I don't blame Mike McCarthy. He has part of the blame. I don't blame him for that. But if you don't get fired getting down 27-0 almost at halftime, then you're not getting fired for making the playoffs. Okay. I think it's impossible to get fired making the playoffs as the Cowboys coach.
I do wonder when it comes to like just letting contracts play out with coaches, if that, hey, I'm not going to extend the guy because then I would have to pay him if I wanted to let him go after the season. But if he doesn't get any further than this, that doesn't mean I'm re-signing him to a contract. And I wonder where that stands. But that stinks for a head coach who's like, I got to somehow convince these guys I'm here for a long haul. Or just go into it and go, guys, this is my last year. I need y'all to play for me and we got to do this together. And I'm going to have to be hard on you sometimes, but it's going to be because I'm going to try and make you great. or I'm done and I won't be around anymore.
Here's the issue that
you really got to hope the room loves you.
With that, not to pile on too much, but don't worry. DallasCowboys.com will write a story to balance it out. I think they don't want to let that happen either, because then you have to put in a lot of work, or at least pretend, to get a new coach. Because what the Cowboys love to do is take someone's suggestion or take the second or third person they're interviewing, and they're like, good enough.
Mike Zimmer's there.
You know what? That's a good
point. Dan Quinn was there.
That might be a really good point for Zimmer.
Bones, like, fossils there.
We'll just take him.
Yeah. So anyway, that was just kind of the, when I saw the list, I'm just looking at the list. I'm like, okay, all right. So that is a thing. What more does he have to do?
And this is something we'll probably be talking about all year. Unless the Cowboys season is a disaster, is what I was just thinking in my head. But then I was like, our definitions, like me and the Jones family's definition of a disaster season, are wildly different. They go 9-8, eke into the playoffs, good enough. I think it's going to have to be like a 6-11, and you're out pretty much with three
the
whole, weeks
you lost the team, kind, you lost yeah, everything. I got deal. You. All right. So I've kind of been... kind of been trying to figure out how to talk about this for a while, and it hit this morning. Our community lost a couple of dads in the last couple of weeks. One of them was a friend of mine who was in during one of the really bad storms on like a Tuesday night. Got into a wreck. He was in a coma for a while and passed away. His wife was injured. And fortunately, she's okay, but he did after about a week and a half pass away. And then, like, that morning, we learned that another dad just suddenly passed away. And Lucy is friends with the girls that were left behind. And I think it was Friday, she came to me and she had drawn up cards. Now, Lucy still... when it comes to reading and writing, she's very far behind. I know at some point maybe her life will be using more auditory things, maybe using, you know, more hearing books, listening to books and stuff like that. And hell, Mike listens to books. I don't read much.
So I think there's a world for the concept of death then, because for kids in general, that can be very complicated.
So Kevin, you remember the episode of Full House when there was an earthquake and then Stephanie didn't want Danny to leave?
Yes.
When she made these cards for me, she came to me and brought them to me and said, these are for my friends. And I could see her lip just quivering. And I said, are you okay? And she said, yeah. And I said, are you sure? And she said, I don't want to lose you, Dad.
Yeah.
And I've never, like, that was one of those parts where I started, like, you're questioning your own mortality and all that stuff anyway, because these are guys your age that just, there are no one to blame, nothing really to look at other than just, man, that has just happened and now they're gone. And everything that goes on beyond that. Not only they have to deal with all the chaos that goes into what's going on, but then they have to, these wives and families have to figure their lives out together. But it was this morning. I was getting ready to leave for work today. And I thought we were kind of past it. You know, I thought we were kind of like she had done her thing and she felt like she, over the weekend, she dropped off some butterfly stones that we did this for when she lost her lizard. Sure. We may put a little butterfly stone down, and so now Lucy can go hang out and talk to the stone and everything. And so she painted a couple of butterfly stones for these girls so that they could put it and hope that they, you know, they have that for them. And the family said that it was just so sweet, and we really appreciated that. But it was this morning when Lucy stopped me on my way out and was like, I don't want you to go. And I was like, why not? And she said, what if you don't come back? Whoa.
Yeah.
Neither one of my boys have ever, I've never experienced anything like this with them before. And today was my first time to experience something like that with her. So when you talk about that, and I'm sorry if I'm, listen, man, somebody asked the other day, Bill Walton, Willie Mays, you know, they say it comes in threes. And then this, just a few minutes ago, Kevin, Donald Sutherland passed away. And we don't know how long we have. And that's why I'm saying, look, man, tell the people you love them. Whenever you see them, whenever you're around them, let them know. But it is, and somebody said there is an episode on Mr. Rogers where he talks about that. He did some fantastic stuff when talking with child psychology. He did some fantastic stuff. And that's where, if you have any, if you've ever experienced this, I would appreciate some guidance here because I want to help her through it, but also kind of help myself a little bit because, like I said, it's a very difficult thing to deal with. But then seeing a little girl that has so much excitement and love and so and she's always so excited. She gets to see her cousins tomorrow night and she's super pumped about that. But there is these moments now where I see that there is a sadness that's starting to creep in. We talk about Inside Out, the movie that has just awoken for her, you know, because she understands the fear of loss and the fear of all these things. So if anybody out there has any thoughts, I would really appreciate it. Or any direction, I'll definitely go check out the YouTube thing. So that was something I kind of probably needed to get off my chest. It's been on me for about 2.5 weeks now. Thank you very much, Tolos, for being here and always being part of this thing and letting us be human as well as, you know, sports guys and stuff. Somebody said that on my Instagram the other day. I posted something and they said, I just really appreciate that you use this to post about your real life also.
Yeah.
Not just like you get to, oh, you open the door for us to see even more of what you guys are by doing this stuff. So thanks, Tolos, for always being there for us. And that's the C Block, Kevin.
There you go. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we're going to switch it up just a little bit. Why is the NCAA so insistent on fixing something that's not broken? Plus, NFL news next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to talk some NFL here, but also some NCAA and college basketball stuff that they're trying to change that I just don't like. Do you want to start with NFL or do you want to go to March Madness stuff?
NFL's good.
All right.
As long as it's not Cowboys.
Yeah. It's not Cowboys specific.
Actually, I need more Cowboys, Kevin. It's Cowboys.
Okay.
Season. They're all in.
I know how to answer this. NFL players, including multiple Cowboys.
There we go.
We're part of an ESPN survey about some of the important, you know, things that are ahead of them. Of the players that were surveyed and asked about an 18-game schedule, what percentage do you think were just against it? They're like, I'm against it no matter what, against the 18-game schedule.
80%.
40%.
19%.
Wow.
were against it no matter what.
Do they think that more money is coming to them for an extra game?
Definitely.
Okay.
So 46% were in favor of an 18-game schedule with certain stipulations. And then a full 8%, which I can't believe, were like, no, I'm fine with it regardless. It literally doesn't matter what stipulations you add. Now, multiple players were talking about, hey, another game equals another check, which I know is something that they would have to negotiate out. And once that came in, that...
Those checks are pretty good.
Yeah.
Checks are pretty good.
Exactly. So, DeMonte KZ, which, you know...
He used to play here.
Yeah, that's right.
He got in trouble here.
Reference. And Deshaun Elliott with the Steelers had an exchange. And KZ said, whatever the league gives you, you just got to adjust to it. And then Elliott interjected, I would. They just don't pay us enough. And then here's what I like from KZ, like kind of speaking for the common man right here. I mean, I'm straight. I wasn't getting paid like this where I was at. So it can be positive from both sides. So like I appreciate the person who's like, hey, yeah, I'm totally fine with the amount of money that we're making.
Checks
right now.
Checks are nice.
And Josie Jewell was one of at least three players in this article from ESPN that said another game equals more money. Sure, let's do it.
And a lot. And Mike said this many times. A lot of these guys don't think about what happens when those checks are gone, or stop coming in. So they're like having those checks. The more you can stack up on it, the better.
And that is not a football only problem. Oh no! Of course,
I mean that's I'm dealing with it right now.
No, but it is a major like. Major League Baseball, it seems like we have better educators.
I feel like basketball comes up maybe. It had come up quite a bit.
And look, there's times I get it. Like, you know, I grew up middle class, so it's not. But I also grew up with the, you know, you stick up for the past and you stick up for the future. It's not about you, which was great. I mean, obviously, even most major leaguers don't obviously have somebody who played in the major leagues, but. Plenty of poor people in Major League Baseball, too, that grew up in shacks and dirt floors all over this world that are playing that could look at it and go, I just need mine now. But luckily, there's been a mindset set since, I don't know, the 60s and 70s that has prevailed in baseball where there's been a mindset, I would say, since about the mid to late 80s that set in and just worry about yourself and don't worry about the past, don't worry about the future, don't worry about your teammates, worry about you and you only. And that mindset, which the owners wanted to get inside the players, has now prevailed for four decades.
It's interesting because, as with any large group of people, you have a lot of wildly varying opinions.
Yeah. Yes.
This I do agree with, though, and it does seem like a contradictory message. James Daniels from the Steelers said, you're talking about player safety, but how do you have player safety when you add a game? And, like, I think the next argument...
Or Thursday night football.
Yes, exactly. I think another argument could be, or when you just added a game, and now the talk is already about adding the next one.
I mean... Here's what I would do. Less games. Less games.
Good luck with that.
Jack the prices up even more because now you have more money to spend, right? Because you're not paying for all the games.
You know what the owners keep saying, though? The owners are arguing feverishly, which I would hope common sense would prevail and be like, stop it. That it's not more games. Is that they view it as a whole block. 17 regular season games. I know this is absurd. And 3 preseason games. So there's 20 games. So they're like, we're not adding a game.
Right.
We're just taking away a preseason game and adding a regular season game. Yeah, because that's the same thing.
Because we see Dak Prescott's not going to take a snap this year in preseason football.
Would that be 3 years in a row?
I don't know, but I mean, that's just...
It's been a while.
It's just the way it is, which is fine. We get it. It's very understandable. You don't want him getting hurt in preseason football. So it's not. It's really adding a new game. But I was just thinking about this. When this happens... The Super Bowl is going to happen on March 1st, isn't it? Like, we're going to get March. The great thing for
football. It's going to be President's Day weekend. So remember.
I don't know when President's.
Okay, it's like February 12th, 14th-ish, kind of around that range, depending on, obviously.
But they're going to add they're probably going to add another bye in there, aren't they?
They are. I think they're also going to move up the start of the season a week. That is my.
Well, if I was them, I would just try to press it more into March, to be honest.
The one reason that it. That,
I guess because August, it's just freaking so hot to play football in August.
That is true. I think people brought it up because then you would have the day after the Super Bowl off. So maybe that is more wishful thinking. Although they did ask the players of that, and that was the one thing that Roger Goodell has floated that everyone seemed to be in favor of. And a couple of players were like, I don't understand why they don't have the day off already after the Super Bowl. And so that seems to have gotten positive applause, but that would probably only come if you added another game, potentially added another bye. And then I really like this from Las Vegas Raiders cornerback Nate Hobbs.
Anytime your team wins a championship, you should automatically get the next day off as a civilian. Does that apply or as a fan?
I agree with that.
You can't be a fake fan. Ooh. You have to have a registered card or something.
I think you should be able to choose.
You made it sound like non-military gets the day off. Military, you still need to protect and serve.
You get the next day off or you get the parade day off. That's
both.
True. Can't do it.
Why not?
Because I'm going to be just
I'll take the next day off as a comp day.
You guys have said no to this, but when you talk about this and you see that the players will just do whatever the owners say, why wouldn't they just go to, at some point in our life, no preseason and a 20-game season? And it's be like, every game counts. We're going to 20 games.
I agree.
I think that is all part of the plan. If you can jump up from, let's say it's 2030, because the CBA doesn't.
Right, it's going to be a while until you get to 20.
Let's say it's 2030. If in about a decade you can go from 16 to 18 games, you're on your way.
I think, Kevin, we need to go back to the olden days when you could just go to your coach and say, look, if I hit a home run, can you take me out of this game? I know everybody showed up to see me, but if I had a home run in the first inning, am I done?
What a great Willie Mays story.
It's my favorite, Mike. I appreciate you telling
me. I do that recommend
one.
That book. I listen to it on Audible, you know, the app.
Yeah.
It's a very good book. You get to learn a lot more about Willie Mays. And if you just type in Willie Mays, it'll come up with the number 24 as the book. And he's part of the book. Obviously, he didn't write the book, but he was part of all the interviews the guy did to put the book together.
Now, the other quote I wanted to throw out about this real quick. This is from Nate Hobbs with the Vegas Raiders.
Oh, yeah, hit a big home run in a fictional movie.
That was Roy Hobbs. Quote, a couple of people are going to feel like Jokic and they're just ready to go home. But for most folks, it takes
Cowboys,
what it takes.
They ran out of energy.
That's true. But
they got fatigued by the time the playoffs started. They were burnt out.
I think Jokic has become the poster child of this because he's like, hey, when's that damn parade? 3 days. Come on, man. I got stuff to do. All right.
God, the Cowboys are really going to hate this 18-game schedule, huh?
They're going to be burnt out before we even get to the
playoffs. We're going to have a whole second roster.
Yeah, game 18, they're like, we quit.
Didn't we quit in game 18 this year?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They said, DeMarcus Lawrence, let us know. They were all burnt out and did not want to play in the playoffs.
I'm still adamant that I think you have to expand rosters if you're going to expand the schedule. You have to.
You're using too much logic for this, Corey. Because I keep seeing, you know what's weird? I keep seeing all these players are like, oh, the owners don't pay us enough as is. They just care about their money. And I'm like, agreed.
They will pay you more if at any point in your life you stand up to
exactly.
them.
Exactly. And they never do. So why would you change it? Why wouldn't you just be like,
I won't get into particulars, but if somebody keeps taking it, then you just keep giving the same amount. Like, it's, you don't have to move if the person isn't going to like leave or not do the job anymore. Yes. And the one thing that we do know in football is you cannot replace NFL football players. We've seen it. We've watched preseason football.
Yeah.
We watched the XF, UF, whatever, FL.
It's now the USFL.
It's horrible. And that's the product that you have to present to the audience if the real football players stop playing.
Now, on the NCAA front, there's another spot where they'll do whatever for money. Ross Dellinger reported that sources have told Yahoo Sports that as early as potentially the 2026 NCAA tournament, so not the next one, but the one after that, is that NCAA leadership has presented a model that would expand the tournament by 4 to 8 teams.
Yes.
All right. I'll just tell you my own personal opinion. I think that the first two nights or the opening two nights, whatever they call it, are stupid for the NCAA tournament, and it should be 64 teams.
Who's watching those right now?
I don't.
I'd love to see demo numbers on that, because if like the 16-year-old to 24-year-old is watching that,
they're probably good with
then they're like, hey, that's going to grow by the time these old codgers, you know, are no
you
longer
might be an
caring.
Old codger if you're using codger. That word.
By the time
what's
they're
a codger,
nobody knows. It's a grumpy nobody idiot. Knows. It's just an old saying.
Okay.
But the kids is what they want to focus there for something that they think 10 years from now they won't even remember that there weren't these teams in before.
I think so. That would put it.
But
up
they to, but those games are boring.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't think most people do them as part of their regular bracket.
Yeah, you can.
And that's what hurts the popularity as well. People don't actually like college basketball. Like, we don't ever talk about it much during the regular season.
The bracket comes out Sunday night, and there's no way, because 90% of the people filling them out are casual, at best, college basketball
fans. Gotta get it in by Thursday. Yeah. Nobody says, I gotta figure this out by Tuesday night.
So I do say, go ahead and roll in the 16 new teams, Kevin. I say 16, not 48. And if you're going to do it that way, have all of them start at the same time. Don't be a first four in. Screw that. Get rid of that altogether. Just expand the bracket and start them the same day, because everybody will be like, oh, yeah, this is part of my bracket.
128?
128 sure. Would be the expansion, or it could be 96.
480.
The NCAA tournament.
Even the junior colleges.
I'm not going to lie. I am intrigued by the idea that, like, whatever random school that went 2-23 is going to play Kansas, just because I'm like, I know it's probably not going to happen, but I just kind of got to see
this
game a little bit.
Kansas gets upset, and you're like, what just happened? And then Kansas is ticked off because I can't believe we let these teams even into the tournament. And you're like, you should have beat them if they were that bad then.
But for now, it looks like the NCAA is going to expand out to maybe 68, maybe 72. But this feels like the March to 96, where half the teams get a bye. Everybody else plays, so you still get that opening 64, and then you get another 64 after that.
I mean, I love college basketball. I mean, who's against, you know, more college basketball?
You don't give a damn about college basketball.
I used to care so much about
it. I know.
It's just, I don't know. Like, we talked about the NIL. If these kids start getting, I guess it doesn't matter because you want to start your NBA career to get to free agency sooner, this and that. But there's so many kids that make bad decisions. Like, I'll just give an example. There's a couple of Duncanville kids that have made horrible decisions leaving college early to go to the NBA. Because you're like, you're not an NBA player. And then 2 years from then, they sat on the bench for the Sacramento Kings, and then they're in Europe playing. But I'm like, at that point, if you're only going to make $700,000 sitting on the bench for Sacramento and never playing, which they can't see themselves not being a superstar.
Yeah.
It's like, stay at Texas Tech, make $500,000 to $1 million playing 30 minutes a night at Texas Tech, and then go to the NBA when you're maybe more ready for this. But they can't. They just can't see it that way.
For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. We'll do an X right here in the Fan.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie,
that's amore.
Now, this is the very famous song that Mike was trying to figure out when he goes, yeah, they play this song at the Mets game in the seventh inning that goes, and I quote, Mamma mia, pizza pia. That is this song.
It picks up. At some point, the song picks up a little bit of pace, too.
But a bit.
I couldn't remember it. I just remember it was like a bunch of people that were Italian really liked this song, and they're like, let's Italian it up in the seventh inning.
What does that mean?
Never mind.
Don't answer
it.
Don't answer
it. It's like an Italian song to me. And so all the people that were Italian in New York thought this was the greatest
Kevin,
song ever.
He's not wrong. Whenever I say, hey, Google, play Italian music, because when you're cooking, you kind of want, Broadus might be able to go with me on this. When I'm cooking, maybe he listens to sports. I don't know. But when I'm cooking, I'm like, hey, I want to like cook with the sounds of what I'm cooking tonight. So if I'm cooking Tex-Mex, I'm like, let's play some Tex-Mex music. And so the first song that Google will play is this one whenever I'm saying play some Italian music. So okay. Mike is right about that.
All right.
That's Amore is the name
yes.
of the song.
Yes,
it is.
Yes.
Dean Martin.
Yeah, that is yes, correct. Is. Yeah. That is a very famous song. I just want to know.
It's a beautiful song. It really is.
It really is. I would love.
Mike just didn't know what song it was. Yeah,
to know if Mike.
Makes me want to eat a pizza dog or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Said nothing like That's Amore to the description.
Well, I forgot what it was. I just knew that people got excited about an Italian song in New York in the seventh inning.
That's Amore.
Mazza mia, pazza pia.
I like Mike's version. I think those are two different songs. I think those are two different songs.
Maybe there is a song like that, too. Maybe they play that after we won. I don't know. I think they played a Frank. Honestly, I think they play a Frank Sinatra song.
That's life.
That, I think that's the one they play.
Who plays
for,
New York, New York? Is that the Yankees?
That's the Yankees. Yeah.
Somebody says
Yankees
it's Lazy Mary.
So the Mets won't do that. They play. I think they might play that one.
They say it's Lazy Mary by Lou Monte. So I don't. I would have to hear it. I've never been at the stadium.
Alec,
so I don't know.
Let's go to City Field.
Go find.
Yeah, let's go up there for a station trip. You want to go?
Yeah.
All right, man. Let's do it.
I bet they did. They probably blew up Shea Stadium.
Okay.
What?
Well, most places do. We're the one that didn't, right? We're the one place that, like, when you build a new stadium next to it, usually eventually they blow up the old stadium, but we didn't blow it up because it's pretty.
That it is pretty.
Still had a championship to win in that stadium. Shout out to the Renegades.
Yeah. Didn't work out so well this
all of those
season,
two wins this year.
Yeah. Hey, this year.
Those were hell of
hey,
two wins.
You know what, Zach? Sometimes you can win a championship in a magical year, and then the next year kind of sucks. When you have
to
deal with it.
You trying to say the Rangers stink this year, Kevin?
We're talking about
Renegades. You're giving up
hope? We're talking about the Renegades.
I know
where
you were going.
About.
I know you were sideswiping the Rangers
What's
on this.
What's up with that block then? It seems like you win a championship and then you play like ass the next time around. What's up with that?
I mean,
a decent trade-off, but still.
Oh, my God. That was the best trade-off. It just sucks now that you're here.
You would take
that. Let's just say the Cowboys were to win the Super Bowl. We're living in fictional land now.
God.
But they do it. They win the Super Bowl this
That's
year.
That's sideswipe.
It's like the most impossible thing ever happens in the history of sports. But then the next 5 years, the Cowboys play under 500 football the next 5 years.
Oh, my God. I would so do that.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that's what the Rangers are going to do, but I think Cowboy fans would be like, yeah, that would be the miracle upon all miracles. I will take 5 bad years of football if I knew we were going to win the Super Bowl. Heck, just making the Super Bowl. Now let me ask you that. Just making the Super Bowl, but then 5 years under 500.
Mike, would you take that with the Mavs?
Except.
Yes, I
because
would.
I think you like,
we kind of
did. I think you like basketball more than your football team,
for
right?
sure.
So I would wonder if the Mavs were bad for 5 years, would you make that trade? You don't care. Like, the Cowboys be bad, fine, whatever. They've been bad for 30 years.
Yeah.
Or they haven't had a championship.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if the Mavs were in the same scenario, would you say, I'm not taking the Mavs being bad for 5 years?
Gavin was with me. That's about the line we drew, right? Because about by 2017, we're like, all right. Start figuring this out. In fact, we wanted them to be really bad. A lot of people disagreed with us. We're like, please be horrible so we can get good again.
Yeah.
Ooh. So 5 years is about the line you draw as a fan where you start going, okay, we won the championship. It's 5 years later. Now what the crap's going on?
Man, the PA guy was mad at us. Mark Cuban was mad at us.
John
and
Heath?
The next thing you know, they were tanking and getting fined for talking about it. It was quite a time. But
did
thank
you feel
them.
Justified by that? You're like,
oh yeah. Now with the Lively thing? I mean, yeah.
Woo!
It's a thing of beauty. It's one of the greatest sports triumphs ever. Me and Mike versus the anti-tankers, and we sure tore their asses up in the end.
Yeah, Richie Witt.
Was he on that bandwagon?
Oh, my God. He was so anti-tank.
You can't tank.
I can do your email, though. All right. So,
oh, no.
Was that too far?
What? Just, what are you doing right now?
Elaborate, please.
That was
can
too
we
far.
Get more detail?
What about the Cowboys win a
championship? I apologize. He had his password.
What about the Cowboys win a championship, but all the rest of your teams for the next 10 years make it to the conference finals or the championship but can't win? So you have to experience the heartbreak
I can make this deal now and then you can wipe my memory with knowledge of this deal, right?
You can just ignore a bad team for a year.
Yeah.
But another team that you're like emotionally invested in their championships and everything and you're just like, why do they keep losing these?
I think I would make that deal as long as I didn't remember it, because then I'd be like, well, I already know what's going to happen. As long as you just wipe my memory, I think I do make that deal.
Yeah, I get it.
Now, we asked this earlier. Let's say, I know there's a lot more to it in the NBA drafts coming up, and that could change things and everything, but would you guys be okay if the offseason for the Mavs consisted solely of You got rid of Tim Hardaway Jr. and you re-signed Derek Jones Jr. And that's it.
Yeah, I think if you can hold the line there, that's pretty good to stay status quo, which I think you do that. And then you're looking to make that next move. You know, I wouldn't be ecstatic about it. I want to know what else they could do before I commit to Derek Jones Jr. But if we got back to that, I would be thrilled to have him back as a piece of your perimeter defense.
Yeah, I think I'd be satisfied with that because I would expect Nico would still find a way to do something else at the trade deadline.
Okay, yeah. And that's what Corey said earlier, too.
So I'd be satisfied.
Yeah, and I wonder about the Tim Hardaway Jr. stuff. We all want to get rid of him, obviously, as much as the next guy. Does it behoove you? Do you get a better deal? Can you get a better player, whatever,
possibly,
if you wait till the deadline instead of...
Because then that expiring contract feels a lot
more
real.
Right here, and teams know that they suck at that point in the season, and they're willing to do things just for business reasons. Yes, we'll give you what's obviously a better player because we are a crappy team, we know it, and yada, yada, yada.
We didn't really get a chance to talk about it today, but did you guys see the article that is essentially saying that Michael Jordan might have been the recipient of a fraudulent Defensive Player of the Year award because fake home stats?
I thought that was a ball sack. Was that a true story?
No, that's a real article. I read it.
Okay.
But so
if you read it, then it's real is what you're saying?
Ooh, that's a good point. Never mind. I take that part back. I did read it. I believe it to be a real story.
Well, we've got, I mean, didn't Jaren Jackson Jr.?
And that's, I mean,
this has happened in the NBA.
And they did bring up it's happened a lot in the NBA. Yeah. But obviously, it's Michael Jordan. You're going to get more clicks that way. That's the reason why I clicked on it as well.
Michael Jordan and his NASCAR team, because his fishing team stinks.
His fishing team's no good.
I mean, dude, couldn't Wimby have won it this year? Wasn't Wimby better than Gobert?
I would make that argument.
Would Broadus rather have a fishing team under his name that he owns or a NASCAR team under his name?
I don't know.
Yeah, racing. I love fishing, but man, I love racing. My team's the team I do work with is going to race at Watkins Glen in an endurance race, 6 hours at Watkins Glen. We won the thing last year, so I'm excited about that. The LMP2 car. We've been a long break. Like I say, I'm in endurance racing stuff, that Ford versus Ferrari stuff, but I love my auto racing. I really do.
I know that you have to have billions of dollars to own a MLB team, NBA. You have to have at least $2 billion.
Yeah.
How much do you have to own a NASCAR team?
That's going
to
run you, with sponsorship and all that, somewhere between $12 and $15 million a car.
That's doable for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I'll work on those podcasts right now.
All right.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. Dave Raymond join us talking baseball, talking Willie Mays, 5 o'clock.
Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 through the Fan.
Say, that's amore, Kevin.
That's amore. You're in the Fan.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie,
that's amore.
Now, this is the very famous song that Mike was trying to figure out when he goes, yeah, they play this song at the Mets game in the seventh inning that goes, and I quote, Mamma mia, pizza pia. That is this song.
It picks up. At some point, the song picks up a little bit of pace, too. But I couldn't remember it. I just remember it was like a bunch of people that were Italian really like this song, and they're like, let's Italian it up in the seventh inning.
What does that mean?
Don't answer it. It's like an Italian song to me. And so all the people that were Italian in New York thought this was the greatest
song
ever.
He's not wrong. Whenever I say, hey, Google, play Italian music, because when you're cooking, you kind of want, Broadus might be able to go with me on this. When I'm cooking, maybe he listens to sports. I don't know. But when I'm cooking, I'm like, hey, I want to like cook with the sounds of what I'm cooking tonight. So if I'm cooking Tex-Mex, I'm like, let's play some Tex-Mex music. And so the first song that Google will play is this one whenever I'm saying play some Italian music. So Mike is right about that.
All right.
That's Amore is the name
yes.
of the song.
Yes,
it is.
Yes.
Dean Martin.
Yeah, that's yes, correct. Is. That is a very famous song. I just want to know.
It's a beautiful song. It really is.
It really is. I would love.
Mike just didn't know what song it was. Yeah,
to know just, if Mike.
Makes me want to eat a pizza dog or something.
Yeah.
Sounded nothing like That's Amore to the description.
Well, I forgot what it was. I just knew that people got excited about an Italian song in New York in the seventh inning.
That's Amore.
Mazza mia, pazza pia.
I like Mike's version. I think those are two different songs. I think those are two different songs.
Maybe there is a song like that, too. Maybe they play that after we won. I don't know. I think they played a Frank. Honestly, I think they play a Frank Sinatra song.
That's life.
That, I think that's the one they play.
Who plays New York, New York? Is that the Yankees?
That's the Yankees.
Yeah. Somebody says Yankees it's Lazy Mary.
So the Mets won't do that. They play, I think they might play that one.
They say it's Lazy Mary by Lou Monte. So I would have to hear it. I've never been at the stadium,
Alec,
so I don't know.
Let's go to Citi Field.
Go find that.
Let's go up there for a show trip, station trip. You want to go?
Yeah.
All right, man. Let's do it.
I bet they did. They probably blew up Shea Stadium.
Okay.
What?
Well, most places do. We're the one that didn't, right? We're the one place that, like, when you build a new stadium next to it, usually eventually they blow up the old stadium, but we didn't blow it up because it's pretty.
That it is pretty.
Still had a championship to win in that stadium. Shout out to the Renegades.
Yeah. Didn't work out so well this
All of those
season,
two wins but. This year.
Yeah. Hey, this year.
Those were hell of
two
wins.
Hey, you know what, Zach? Sometimes you can win a championship in a magical year, and then the next year kind of sucks. And you have to deal with it.
You trying to say the Rangers stink this year, Kevin?
We're talking about the Renegades.
You're giving up
hope? We're talking about the Renegades. I know
where you were going. I know you were sideswiping the Rangers on this.
What's up with that block then? It seems like you win a championship and then you play like ass the next time around. What's up with that?
I mean,
a decent trade-off, but still.
Oh, my God. That was the best trade-off. It just sucks now that you're here.
You would take
that. Let's just say the Cowboys were to win the Super Bowl. We're living in fictional land now. God. But they do it. They win the Super Bowl this
That's
year.
Your side swipe.
It's like the most impossible thing ever happens in the history of sports. But then the next 5 years, the Cowboys play under 500 football the next 5 years.
Oh, my God. I would so do that.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that's what the Rangers are going to do, but I think Cowboy fans would be like, yeah, that would be the miracle upon all miracles. I will take 5 bad years of football if I knew we were going to win the Super Bowl. Heck, just making the Super Bowl. Now let me ask you that. Just making the Super Bowl, but then 5 years under 500.
Mike, would you take that with the Mavs?
Except.
Yes, I
because
would.
I think you like,
we kind of did.
I think you like basketball more than your football team,
for
right?
sure.
So I would wonder if the Mavs were bad for 5 years, would you make that trade? You don't care. Like, the Cowboys be bad, fine, whatever. They've been bad for 30 years.
Yeah.
Or they haven't had a championship.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if the Mavs were in the same scenario, would you say, I'm not taking the Mavs being bad for 5 years?
Gavin was with me. That's about the line we drew, right? Because about by 2017, we're like, all right, start figuring this out. In fact, we wanted them to be really bad. A lot of people disagreed with us. We're like, please be horrible so we can get good again.
Yeah.
Ooh. So 5 years is about the line you draw as a fan where you start going, okay, we won the championship. It's 5 years later. Now what the crap's going on?
Man, the PA guy was mad at us. Mark Cuban was mad at us.
Sean
and the next thing you know, they were tanking and getting fined for talking about it. It was quite a time. But
did you feel justified by that? You're like,
oh, yeah. Now it's a lively thing. I mean, yeah.
Woo!
It's a thing of beauty. It's one of the greatest sports triumphs ever. Me and Mike versus the anti-tankers, and we sure tore their asses up in the end.
Yeah, Richie Witt.
Was he on that bandwagon?
Oh, my God. He was so anti-tank.
You can't tank.
I can do your email, though. All right. So,
oh, no.
Was that too far?
What are you doing right now?
Elaborate, please.
That was too far.
Can we get more detail? What about the Cowboys win a
championship? I apologize. He had his password.
What about the Cowboys win a championship, but all the rest of your teams for the next 10 years make it to the conference finals or the championship but can't win? So you have to experience the heartbreak
I can make this deal now and then you can wipe my memory with knowledge of this deal, right?
You can just ignore a bad team for a year.
Yeah.
But another team that you're like emotionally invested in their championships and everything and you're just like, why do they keep losing these?
I think I would make that deal as long as I didn't remember it, because then I'd be like, well, I already know what's going to happen. As long as you just wipe my memory, I think I do make that deal.
Yeah, I get it.
Now, we asked this earlier. Let's say, I know there's a lot more to it in the NBA draft coming up, and that could change things and everything, but would you guys be okay if the offseason for the Mavs consisted solely of You got rid of Tim Hardaway Jr. and you re-signed Derek Jones Jr. And that's it.
Yeah, I think if you can hold the line there, that's pretty good to stay status quo, which I think you do that. And then you're looking to make that next move. You know, I wouldn't be ecstatic about it. I want to know what else they could do before I commit to Derek Jones Jr. But if we got back to that, I would be thrilled to have him back as a piece of your perimeter defense.
Yeah, I think I'd be satisfied with that because I would expect Nico would still find a way to do something else at the trade deadline.
Okay, yeah. And that's what Corey said earlier, too.
So I'd be satisfied.
Yeah, and I wonder about the Tim Hardaway Jr. stuff. We all want to get rid of him, obviously, as much as the next guy. Does it behoove you? Do you get a better deal? Can you get a better player, whatever,
possibly,
if you wait till the deadline instead of...
Because then that expiring contract feels a lot more
real. Right
here,
and teams know that they suck at that point in the season, and they're willing to do things just for business reasons. Yes, we'll give you what's obviously a better player because we are a crappy team, we know it, and yada, yada, yada.
We didn't really get a chance to talk about it today, but did you guys see the article that is essentially saying that Michael Jordan might have been the recipient of a fraudulent Defensive Player of the Year award because of fake home stats?
I thought that was a ball sack. Was that a true story?
No, that's a real article. I read it.
Okay.
So if you read it, then it's real is what you're saying?
Ooh, that's a good point. Never mind. I take that part back. I did read it. I believe it to be a real story.
Well, we've got, I mean, didn't Jaren Jackson Jr.?
And that's, I mean,
this has happened in the NBA.
And they did bring up it's happened a lot in the NBA. Yeah. But obviously, it's Michael Jordan. You're going to get more clicks that way. That's the reason why I clicked on it as well.
Michael Jordan and his NASCAR team, because his fishing team stinks.
His fishing team's no good.
I mean, dude, couldn't Wimby have won it this year? Wasn't Wimby better than Gobert?
I would make that argument.
Would Broadus rather have a fishing team under his name that he owns or a NASCAR team under his name?
I don't know.
Yeah, racing. I love fishing, but man, I love racing. My team's the team I do work with is going to race at Watkins Glen in an endurance race, 6 hours at Watkins Glen. We won the thing last year, so I'm excited about that. The LMP2 car. We've been a long break. Like I say, I'm in endurance racing stuff, that Ford versus Ferrari stuff, but I love my auto racing. I really do.
I know that you have to have billions of dollars to own a MLB team, NBA. You have to have at least $2 billion.
Yeah.
How much do you have to own a NASCAR team?
That's going
to
run you, with sponsorship and all that, somewhere between $12 and $15 million a car.
That's doable for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I'll work on those podcasts right now.
All right. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. Dave Raymond join us talking baseball, talking Willie Mays, 5 o'clock.
Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We've been the KNC Masterpiece Maker. Way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 through the Fan.
Say, that's amore, Kevin.
That's amore.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.